Today we're going to finish this series called Unusual Faith Occurrences. We started out with a message called Usual. Instead of trying to always be crazy out here, I need a word from the Lord. I need this. I need that. That's really not how the Christian life is. The Christian life is the usual. That is the Word of God. Read it every day. Well, that sounds sort of boring. Do it. That's what God blesses. Having faith in Jesus Christ, that's the usual thing. Do the usual things. Don't get bent out of shape. Go down rabbit trails where you got to live for experiences. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You can't turn on Christian TV anymore. It's almost impossible to watch it for any length of time without somebody getting goofballish and just going way out on a limb and being insane. Are you hearing me or not? Say, it's crazy. And they're going to hear this message on TV. That's just the way it is. And people know, telling the truth. It's craziness. So, are there experiences? Sure there are. We've talked about them. Dreams. Do I believe dreams still happen? Or do I believe when you go to sleep, God goes to sleep, nothing can happen in your dreams? No, I believe dreams happen. Why? Because the Bible says so. Many, many, many stories. And I gave a couple of examples. I mean, I gave an own personal example. And it doesn't matter. What does it matter what I believe anyway? You know what I'm saying? But the Bible teaches it. But is that greater than faith in Jesus? Is that greater than having His Word? No. You need to be in the book, man. That's where it's all at. You need to live for Him. You need to reach other people. That's the bottom line. Last week we talked about near-death experiences. I tried my best to show you about four or so from the Scriptures, okay? It's tough to find a near-death experience in the Bible. I think we made a valiant effort last week, and I think there are a couple there, for sure. Do I believe in near-death experiences? I personally do believe that people can have an experience, and I don't think every one of them are phonies and frauds. Do I believe a lot of them are phony and frauds? Yes or no? Sure I do. And just because you die or something, you have a near-death experience, you see some bright light, that doesn't mean jack. I think you need to see, do you know Jesus right now while you're breathing? Say, that's the important time to figure this out. Amen? And there's not that many near-death experiences in the Bible. So it all goes back to this. And that is, I need to hang close to what I know. And that's the Word of God and faith in the Lord and do it His way. And not just some experience that I have. Today's message, we're going with number four. I need you to participate in the message today. Y'all ready? Y'all awake? Y'all okay? Say, I need you to participate with me today. But I want you to be honest. I'm going to ask you later on in the service to stand up.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to stand up.
You're not going to have to say anything. But if there's a question I ask later on in the message and you feel like, man, I need to stand up right now, why don't you stand up? Not going to be long, you're going to sit right back down. Can you do it? Are we agreed? Say. Not that hard. Here we go. The message today, the first one was called Usual. Today's message, Unusual. Unusual. I want you to look at it real close. Pop it up, Raj. Look at that. What do you see highlighted? Say it with me. You are unusual. Did you know that? You. You unusual. That's what I'm talking about today. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Joy put it in a worship guide this week. When you look, what should be usual to us in here? Being Christians, being born again, being saved, having sins forgiven, reading the Bible, praying, loving the Lord, confessing sin. That should be usual. But to a world out there, changed lives in here should be usual. Amen? But out there it's going to seem what? Unusual. They don't need you to go wacko on them. They don't need, I got a word from the Lord. They don't need that. They already think you're a nut. They need you to show them a changed life. That's plenty unusual enough. Are you hearing me so far this morning? Let's move with that thought in our mind. Here we go. The greatest and most reliable UFOs, unusual faith occurrences, occur in people who have been radically transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't need to go to Roswell, New Mexico to be looking for some UFO or something. The greatest UFOs, my friend, are you and me. Because Jesus Christ has come into our life and He's changed our life. And I tell you what, we sort of sometimes look like aliens to this world. Amen? But that's what God uses. He uses people. He uses us instead of some experience. Keep looking. Experiences that we have and stories are always what? Say it with me. Subjective. Harry, you can tell me you had a story. Man, this happened to me, this happened to me. And you know what? I can't really argue with you that it happened. But you know what? When I leave you here, I'm going to go, I don't know about all that. I mean, I like Harry, but I don't. Why? Because it's subjective. Why? Because he told me anytime flesh is hung on to something, somebody tells me, their skin. You know, when a person tells me something that's not necessarily straight up in the Scripture, I'm always suspect of it. Are you hearing me? Not to say experiences don't happen, but they're subjective. But watch this. A changed life is concrete. Say that with me. A changed life is what? Somebody used to run around on their wife. They don't do it anymore because they met Jesus. Somebody was a hell raiser. They don't do that anymore. Because why? They met Jesus. Then you can't argue with that. Well, how do I know you did it? Well, I'll go get you a list of people and you can go ask them. A changed life is concrete. Our world needs to see something that's real. I got a word from... How do I know you got a word from anywhere? Say. But I do know this. What did blind man say when they were arguing with him? Remember? Remember what in John 9? This ain't the message, but remember John 9? They argued with him. You know, give credit. Don't give it to Jesus. Give it to God. And the Pharisees were arguing. He said, let me tell you something. I don't know what you boys are talking about. Let me say something to you. All I know is I once was blind, but now what? You can't argue with that, can you? Say. A changed life is concrete. Look at some changed lives we wrote down in the Scriptures. Ready? Here we go. Move it fast. Abraham, Jacob, Rahab, Ruth, Samuel, David, a widow at Zarephath, a Shunammite woman, Naaman, Manasseh, Cyrus. Keep going. Here we go. Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, king of Nineveh, a centurion, Matthew, a Canaanite woman, another centurion, the Gadarene maniac, a woman with internal bleeding, a father of a demoniac son, blind Bartimaeus, a scribe, Mary Magdalene, paralytic, moral woman, a leper, a publican, Zacchaeus, a woman with 18-year infirmity, a dying thief, Peter, Andrew, Philip, Nathaniel, Nicodemus, Samaritan woman, nobleman, an adulterous woman, a blind man, Martha, lame man, Ethiopian eunuch, Saul, Cornelius, Sergius Paulus, Lydia, demoniac girl, Philippian jailer, Crispus, Paulus. It's funny, I had to search really hard to find a near-death experience. There were a few dreams in the Bible. Change lives everywhere. Are you hearing me say? Change lives everywhere. All through the Bible, changed lives. That's the greatest UFO there is, man. The greatest unusual faith experience that you'll ever have is the fact the day that you realize you are a lost, hell-bound sinner and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you receive the gift of salvation. That's huge. And you repented, you turned from your sin, and you started following Jesus. Does that mean you don't stumble and fall? Say, no, you do. But you started going this way. Isn't that huge? Let's praise the Lord. Come on, that's humongous! Gigantic! All right? So that's what we're talking about. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is what? That's His purpose. That's His mission. That's why He came. What did the angel Gabriel tell Joseph? We don't call His name what? Jesus. Because He'll do what for His people? He'll save His people from their sins. That's what it's all about. Keep looking. He saves. And this is in the Scripture. He saves farmers, builders, businessmen, businesswomen, doctors, lawyers, preachers, teachers, prostitutes, fortune tellers, politicians, fishermen, policemen, thieves, murderers, soldiers, slave owners, men, women, boys, girls, all races of people. He saves. He saves the nasty, the nice, the mighty, the mean, the rich, and the poor. What I'm trying to tell you is that's the story. Amen? I've looked at the story. Experiences. Do experiences happen? Unusual faith occurrences happen? I believe they do. But I think I've come to the meat of the story. I think I've honed in on where the most unusual faith occurrences are. And it's in changed lives. Everybody can have one. Some people can't have a near-death experience, can they? Say. I mean, you gotta actually be sick, then you gotta flatline and die, and then you gotta come back.
Everybody can't do that. So I can't have me no unusual faith occurrence experience.
Let me tell you something. Every one of you are candidates to have a faith experience, an unusual faith experience, by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's no greater transaction in the world than being lost and on your way to a devil's hell and then being saved and having a home in heaven. That is powerful. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's powerful. That's what I'm talking about today. Unusual faith occurrence. Don't sometimes we feel like stepchildren? When I didn't get to have me no dream. You see what I'm saying? Shame on us for feeling second class because all I got was radically born again. You know what I mean? All I've got is the Holy Spirit of the living God living inside of me. All I've got is the Word of God that now when I read it, it comes alive. Amen? All I've got is things I've learned on how I can raise my children and how I can love my wife through thick and thin. But I'm really picked on, aren't I? Say. This is the greatest experience you'll ever have is knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It might seem usual to us, but it's unusual to the world. Amen? So I need y'all to leave here today and buzz around Inglewood. It's awesome, man. Don't sell yourself short. Well, I don't have a hell-raising story like you, Pastor Clark. Your story is uniquely your story that is uniquely designed, I believe, to help you share with somebody else Jesus Christ. That I could never do what you can do. He needs us. Amen? We have a story to tell. His story in us. Not your story. His story in you. It's still His story. Amen? His story in you. Tell it this week. Start living like that. Mark 16:15. Jesus said unto them, go ye into what? All the world and preach the what? Gospel to every creature. I have not been commanded in Scripture to tell everybody my experiences that I've had. The intimate relation things that I have with God. I have not been commanded to go tell everybody that. I have been commanded to tell everybody about Jesus and how He saved me. Are you hearing me say? I was talking to a guy yesterday, nice guy. First question out of his mouth is, what do you think about the Holy Spirit? I wish for once people would come up to me and ask me, what do you think about Jesus Christ? What do you think about the Word of God? Not minimizing the Holy Spirit, but there's always a slant. Are you hearing me say? Oh, I don't know if y'all like it or not, but I'm telling you anyway. It's the way it is. The greatest story you'll ever have is knowing Jesus Christ, not some intimate experience that you have in a dream, a vision, or things like that. Are y'all listening today? Are y'all hearing me say? Okay, just talking this morning. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know some of you are here this morning. Amen? That's all right. I don't expect applause. I just listen. I'm just trying to lay it out. Because you know what? One thing about being lost, I still remember very vividly what it was to be lost. And to grow. How many can remember what it's like to be lost? Can I see your hands? Good. You remember how crazy we thought Christian people were? Say. Bunch of freaks. Bunch of people go, take my money! Right? See, they already think we're unusual enough without us going over the top and really, amen? Tell them about Jesus. Tell them what He did in your life. Share the gospel. The Apostle Paul said it this way. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of being saved? Oh, I got to have me a bigger story than that. No, you don't. That's the most unusual faith story that you'll ever get is that one where Jesus saved your soul. Amen? It's huge. Tell people about it. Don't be ashamed. Just a couple of things from this verse. Gospel literally means the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the good news. Amen? Why would I be ashamed of the good news? How many when somebody has good news you want to tell somebody? Say. Something good happened to you, you want to go do what? Tell them. That's what the gospel is. It's good news. You ought to want to go tell them. It's good news, man. Look at something else. Paul said it's the power of God. unto salvation. That word power is the word dynamis in the Greek language. It literally means dynamite. I can tell of some experience that I've had in my life. Something intimate maybe that happened with me and the Holy Spirit. But that's not where the power is. The power's in the gospel. Are you hearing me this morning? The power's in the fact Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus Christ can forgive you of all your sins, even me. Yeah, you, man. He did me. How powerful is that? Say, it's huge. Paul said, I'm chained to the gospel. That's the power, man. That's the dynamite. The good news of Jesus Christ is dynamite. You know who I saw on TV the other night? I could not believe it. Jimmy J.J. Walker. How many remember that skinny kid? Dynamite! Guy became famous because he could say one word. And I hadn't seen him forever. Now the guy's gained like 50 pounds. He ain't skinny anymore. But the funny thing is, he's turned into a fairly conservative thinker, believe it or not. Dynamite. Jesus Christ. Tell him the story of him, how he did for your life. Keep looking. Three things I've written real fast, and here it is. And then we're coming to the interactive part of the message. Here we go. The gospel of Jesus Christ, say it with me. It's a blast to your... Come on and help me one more time. It's a blast to your... Isn't that the truth or what? You get saved, you get forgiven. Hallelujah. Your sins are G-O-N-E what? Gone. That's what the gospel will do to... Listen, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If we confess our sins, He's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says He cast our sin as far away as the east is from the what? The west. He buries it in the sea and He does what? Remembers it no more. The gospel of Jesus Christ will give you a blast to your past. Isn't that great? That's how powerful it is. Look at this other thing. Think about dynamite. It'll blow your mind. The gospel will blow your mind. What am I talking about? That filthy mind that you had and that I had, foul, you get saved, start reading the Word of God, it can blow your mind and get your head straight. How many ever had a warped head and now your head's on a little straighter? Can I see your hands? A couple of you in the building. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind, that you might prove what's a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Who me? Comes because of the gospel. It's powerful, man. You see what I'm talking about? It's a blast to your past. It will blow your mind. It will light you up. It's amazing when a person becomes a Christian, especially if you've been a hellraiser. Your friends will go, what in the world has happened to what? You. Guy told me a story. It was is Wendy here? Wendy, I went out the other night with Mitch and Wendy Lipford, and Mitch was telling us there at the table that he was a party animal. Okay, guys, your dad was a party animal. Okay, here we go. Anyway, he was telling us he was a party animal, and so she was too. But I think he was worse than her. You live it. But anyway, when he got saved, he was how old? 21? 20? 20 years old, you were about 18? And when Mitch got saved, his buddy, his party buddy, said, oh no, not you! Not you! I've lost my party buddy! Because when you get born again, I'm not talking about playing church. I'm talking about really trusting Jesus Christ. It'll light you up. And people are going to think you plenty unusual without you telling them that you've been hanging from light bulbs lately. You don't need to do that. Amen? Here's what Jesus said. You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. We don't realize when we leave this place, we go out into this world, when we live for the Lord, we are a light. I'm not talking about playing like you're a light. I'm just talking about living for the Lord, doing what's normal now because you are a born-again Christian. You will be a light. Are you hearing me say? You ever been working your work or doing your job or been in your community and people just notice a little something different about you in a positive way? You ever heard that? Yes or no? It's called a light. Let your light so shine, Jesus said, before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I think a lot of times we like telling these other experience stories because they glorify us sometimes. You hearing me? It's hard to tell what Jesus did for you and you get any of the credit. Amen? It's all about giving Him all the glory. Unusual. All right, now we're turning and we're going to be done here, but I ain't done yet, so don't start heading for the door. Because you know I'm lying, don't you? Here we go. Come on. You're great people to talk to. Look at the power of the gospel of Jesus. I picked three of this list of 51. I want to look at three of them real fast. I ain't going to say a lot about them. I'm just going to read the scriptures. Look at them. Three people who were radically changed. And this is where we're going to get interactive here in a little bit. The first one was, say it with me. Say it again. Come on. He was... I need y'all one more time because I want you alive and awake right now. One more time. His name was Zacchaeus. I just want to read the story about Zacchaeus. Not going to say much. This is right from the Bible. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named who? Which was the chief among the publicans. The publicans were crooked tax collectors. Okay? He was horrible. He actually worked for Rome. Okay? Collected taxes from the people for Rome, and they would pocket and make themselves filthy rich on gorging and gouging the people. Are you hearing me say? This guy was a crook. And he was what? Rich. And a lot of crooks are what? Rich. Not all of them, though. Don't buy that line. A lot of folks work hard. That's why they got what they got. But he was a crook. And Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus who he was, and he could not for the press of the people because he was a short rascal, a little guy, short of stature. He couldn't see. I can't help it when I sort of see Danny DeVito. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I think he'd play a good Zacchaeus. Come on. Anyway. And he ran before, and how many of y'all seeing Danny DeVito now? Okay, there we go. He ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for Jesus was passing by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, he saw Zacchaeus, he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, get down, for today I'm going to abide at your house. I'm going to your house. Is Jesus at your house? If Jesus is at your house, you've got a pretty good story to tell people. So he said, I'm going to your house. And look at verse 6. And Zacchaeus made haste. He came down and he received him what? Joyfully. Have you received Jesus joyfully? Say, maybe that's why your light ain't shining. You're fighting him. Won't you receive him joyfully? Zacchaeus, this crook, received him joyfully. And when they saw it, the crowd, the religious leaders, and even those that weren't religious leaders, they murmured saying that Jesus was going to be a guest with a man that's a what? A crook. Who's, look at him, he's going to be a crook. And Zacchaeus stood, and he said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I'm going to now give to the poor. And Lord, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'm going to restore it to him. But I'm not just going to give it back what I took. I'm going to give it to him how many times? Would you say that was a change in this man's life? Yes or no? Because he received Jesus joyfully. Here's what Jesus said unto him. This day is salvation come to what? This house. For as much also he is a son of Abraham. Here's this great verse that I quoted earlier. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is... Y'all ready? Interactive time. The word crooked. How many would say, Pastor, count me in, I'm a UFO.
Because that's the way I was. I was crooked. I lied. I cheated. I stole. I did things under the table. But Jesus Christ saved me. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. But I'm saying I don't do the things I used to do, and I'm not the man I used to be, the woman I used to be. Anybody got guts enough just to raise, stand up right on your feet and sit right back down? Let me see a few of you in the house. Praise the Lord. That's plenty good. Praise the Lord. He saves crooks. Amen. It's awesome. That's great. That wasn't some maybe story or experience or something strange, but boy, that's pretty powerful, letting it say. It was a little rough, wasn't it? I saw old John looking at me. I'm standing with you, brother. Old Clark's up here too, babe. Second one. Immoral. There was a woman in the Bible. Look at it. A Samaritan woman. And let's read the story about her real fast. Watch it. There comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Jesus answered, I skipped some verses here. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water at the well will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water, Jesus speaking, that I shall give him or her, shall never thirst. But the water I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call your husband and come back here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you answered right, I have no husband. For you have had how many husbands? Say it with me. Five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, I know Messiah comes, which is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, say it with me, I that speak unto you am. He's right here. The woman then left her water pot. Something happened to this woman, didn't it? Say. The woman left her water pot. She went her way into the city. And she said to the men, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and they came to him. And many of the Samaritans of the city did what? Tell me. Believed on him for what? For the saying of who? The woman which testified, he told me all I ever did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Watch it, almost done. And many more did what? Because of his own word. And I like this verse 42. See, folks, you don't need to tell Gary's story. You need to tell your story of how Jesus has worked in you. And they said unto the woman, all these people that now were believers in Jesus, now we believe. Not because of your saying, for we've heard him ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the what? I find it really interesting. This lady was an immoral woman. I mean, she had been married a bunch of times, slept around. But she was excited about it, that he knew. Sometimes we hide from things that he knows and he's forgiven us of. Are you listening to me? I think I said it in a State of Denial message a few weeks ago. I think our world needs to know that Jesus Christ still saves immoral people. Are you hearing me? Well, I need me a story. I need to have me an experience. Oh, brother, you just tell them that. Amen. This is the way I used to be. And Jesus Christ saved me. Oh, I'm not perfect. But I'm not the man or woman I used to be. Hallelujah. Amen. So my question is this. How many would say, Pastor Clark, that's me. Immoral. I slept around. Snuck around. Listen. I filled my head maybe with porn. Crap. And crud. And that was the way I thought,
filth. It's the way I live life. Anybody brave enough? I know it's a tough message. Anybody brave enough to say, hey, that was me. I was immoral. Look at that. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ saves people. Amen? Praise the Lord! I appreciate you doing it. I know that's not easy. Amen? I love a couple of you especially that have shared with me your own story. Because you're not glorifying what you did. You're glorifying what Jesus did in you to save your soul. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Here's the last one. Have you been to a message like this lately? Isn't that the way it is at Fellowship? A little strange? Hey, I doubt very seriously if you don't stand in here that you're going to stand out there. If you don't stand with the team, you're probably not going to stand with the folks that ain't on the team. Is that right? Praise the Lord. Come on. And I know it ain't easy. Maybe this will just get something started in you. Addicted. Here's the last story, reading it fast. There was a demon-possessed man. They came over the other side of the sea, the disciples and Jesus, into the country of the Gadarenes. I've been to Gadara. It's in Jordan. Very few people get to go there. I was fortunate on a trip one time to be able to go there. When he was come out of the ship, Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him. He broke them. The fetters broke into pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he is in the mountains, he is in the tombs. He was crying, he was cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I have to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. This guy who was possessed said this. For he said unto him, Jesus speaking, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is what? Legion. This guy was full of 1,000 demons. For we are many. And he besought him that he would not send them away. The demons sought Jesus that he would not send them away out of the country. Strange story. Now there was nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine, pigs were feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the pigs, that we may enter into the pigs. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out, and they entered the pigs. If you've been to Gadara, it's a hillside town that runs down the Sea of Galilee. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000. And they were choked in the what? Sea. They got their wish, but they didn't know what was coming. And they that fed the swine, the owners of the swine, the ones that are feeding the swine, they told it to the city and into the country. And they went out to see what in the world was going on. And they came to Jesus and they, watch this part, and they see him that was what? Say it with me. Possessed with the, and had the, say this part with me, sitting and clothed, come on, help me, and in his right mind. And they were what? Isn't it funny? The old boy would rip your head off before now. He's sitting there in his right mind and they're scared to death. Don't minimize the power of your gospel story that's active in your life. Some people are scared to death of you. You go out there and they think you're weird and you're a freak and they know, nobody's telling them what they think of me. You don't need to be sensational. You just need to be real. This guy had really had an experience with Jesus. He was sitting there really calm. How many would have liked to see him break chains and stuff like that? Honestly, be honest. Oh, yeah. It wasn't very exciting now. He's just sitting there in his right mind. They're scared. They that saw it told him how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Isn't that the strangest story? Not everybody's going to like your story, probably. And when he was coming to the ship, Jesus, when he came to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Can I go with you? Isn't that sad? You know, I feel that way. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, he said, no. But you go home to your friends and you tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. And he departed and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did what? Say it with me. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship to the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. I put addicted up there for a reason. In your New Testament, when you see the word sorcery, it's the same word translated for drugs. Okay? In the Greek, it's the word, say it with me, pharmakia. Where'd we get the word drugs from? I tell you, I think a lot of people today, they're addicted to drugs, but Satan has a hold on their life. Would you agree with that, yes or no? It sure ain't Jesus. Amen? And it's not just drugs. It's alcohol. I mean, just totally controlled by alcohol. Drinking. Smoking. The weed. The crack. Addicts. Addicted. My question to you is this. Anybody that can say, Pastor Clark, that was me. That was me. And Jesus Christ, He saved me. Oh, I'm not perfect, preacher. But I'm not the man or woman I used to be. He has changed my life. Anybody willing to stand up right quick and do that? Let's praise the Lord. Can we praise the Lord? Come on. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You be seated. Praise the Lord. I hope you know. Listen, I hope you know I'm not trying to put you down. I'm trying to say, instead of thinking you got to have an experience, I believe experiences happen. I really do. But I don't think any of them hold a candle to that, of what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Are you getting the message today? You got it, fellas? All right. Unusual. I'm proud of y'all, by the way. Can we just be proud of all of them today that we're proud of you. And some of you that stood, I'm standing with you because I had some of the same problems. But the point is, we don't know what it is that you still face and what you're going through. But I know something. You're not the man or woman you used to be. You're not the man or woman you used to be. And you have hope. And Jesus loves you. And He wants to continue to bless you. He wants you to get stronger. Amen? So that your light can shine brighter. That's the ticket. You see it now? Say, unusual. Who is unusual? Somebody tell me. You, you, and you. You've got a story to tell. It's His story. Say that with me. It's ain't your story. All you did to qualify was be a sinner and say, yes, I believe in you. That's about all you could do. Amen. Isn't that nice? That's all He said we had to do. Repent and believe. Never forget, it's His story, but watch it. This is beautiful. His story in you is what? Say it with me. History. No one can tell me I wasn't born in Rockingham, North Carolina. Nobody can tell me I didn't walk to Temple Baptist Church on December the 18th, 1977, and walk down the aisle of Temple Baptist Church with Eddie Zimmerman preaching the Word of God, Revelation 3:20. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. No one can tell me your mother didn't walk down that aisle and trust Jesus as her Savior, and you did too. Nobody can say that to me, because if they do, they're a bald-faced liar. Nobody can say it didn't happen when Mama went home that afternoon. We walked, we didn't have a car. She opened up the refrigerator, took all the Pabst Blue Ribbon she had and poured down the cast iron sink in the kitchen. Nobody can say that didn't happen. Nobody can say it's not true that after all those years now, here I am in Englewood, Florida, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I've been doing so for about 25 years. No one can say that's not true. You know why? That's history. Are you hearing me say? That's history. Say that with me. That's. One more time. That's. Tell His story in you. You don't have to have some crazy, wild-eyed experience. Tell His story in you. Say it one more time, because that's. praise the Lord this morning. Let's praise the Lord. Come on. Y'all seem like you had a good time today. Praise the Lord. Amen.